This is a CBC podcast.
It is day four of the provincial election campaign. While the politicians are not sitting in the assembly, the legislature was still a hub of activity.
When nurses are under attack, what do we do?
Show up, fight back!
When healthcare is under attack, what do we do?
Show up, fight back!
That was outside the legislature yesterday, where a rally was held by nurses. They were hoping to get the attention of the political parties, which are campaigning right now. For more on the election, we reached our political panel. Adam Hunter covers provincial politics for CBC Saskatchewan. Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post, and they both join me now in studio. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
So, Adam, what's the latest?
Well, first of all, let's talk about that rally yesterday, and I do miss myself a chilly legislature rally. It's been a while. But credit to the nurses and everyone that came out yesterday. More than 400 sunset and a lot of supporters. We also had Samantha Beacott from the STF, who's no stranger to the legislature rallies this year. Also the SFL, some national leaders. And I think most interestingly, we heard from three nurses and an ER physician who all painted a really grim picture of what's happening in hospitals in Regina and Saskatoon specifically, but also rural Saskatchewan. We had stories this week about 350% overcapacity in the ER, RUH in Saskatoon, running out of oxygen. And a few of the nurses there spoke about, you know, if there was a mass casualty event, they wouldn't be able to handle it because there's no capacity. They spoke about this being worse than some of the peaks of COVID, just because they can't get people moving through the hospital because everyone's showing up in the ER, lack of family physicians. And the last message was really, they seemed very angry. And I think when you hear the stories, you understand why. But there was a lot of, if you're going to have a candidate at your door, they have to tell you what they're going to do about healthcare. And Tracy Zembori, the Sun president, saying they have to do it and put it in writing. And when Scott Moe was asked about this in Prince Albert yesterday, he said, well, we've hired nurses. We're bringing more in. We recognize this is a problem, but we have to do more. And the frustration, I think, from Sun and what they've said over the last number of months is the government hasn't sat down with us. They're ignoring us. They won't even come and speak at an event yesterday. And we've asked for this nursing task force. And then you go a couple days ago, right before the campaign, the SAS party says, well, we're going to have a nursing task force, but we're going to include all these other unions in it. And that's not on for Sun. They said, we want something specific. Carla Beck is promising that. And we asked Tracy Zembori about what Carla Beck's been promising. And she said the devil's in the details. She's not endorsing one party over the other, but she says it's all about voters demanding changes to healthcare and what we're seeing right now in hospitals.
Murray, we were around decades ago when nurses were so mad they stormed into that legislature when Roy Romano was premier. And I'm not sure I've heard them that mad since.
Until now, they got a 36.5% wage increase first thing from the SAS party government. They seemed happy for a while, and they're not anymore. And I don't think I'm not making a flippant comment about the money. They are legitimately angry. In the context of this election, it's going to be interesting to watch how widespread that anger is. This has been a pretty quiet campaign up until yesterday and yesterday's announcement. But I think that there is a simmering undertone here that Scott Moe is not going to like. You know, he won a nice quiet campaign where he moved from ashram to ashram and very quietly, found peace and joy in re-announcing government policies that Brad Wall put in 17 years ago, and he's now expanding. But that does not necessarily seem to be working for him. He is getting it from the right in terms of the Sask United Party and Mr. Remick's press conference this week unveiling his platform, which looked to me like the platform that the backbench of the SAS party really wanted to unveil. And he's getting it from the left right now. And notwithstanding what Tracy Zembori and others are saying about we'll wait and see and put both parties' feet to the fire, I think we all can figure out who that rally was aimed at yesterday. You know, there's not much difference between the NDP's "We're Not Going Back" slogans being sung at that rally yesterday. And I'm not suggesting that Sun is political perhaps as other unions. QP is ridiculous, but there certainly is a tie in the NDP. But this is a problem. Now, you have to basically counterbalance that with what's going on in other places like rural Saskatchewan, where I think it's still a pretty quiet campaign, and maybe in other places here where, since we've been campaigning for a month anyway, it's been hard to see the transition from the pre-campaign period into the campaign period. Maybe yesterday signals that transition in a very big way. I guess it's going to be interesting to wait and see how that unfolds.
I want to ask you a bit more about Sask United Party and the policy that you think would speak to some backbenchers there, but of the Sask Party. But Adam, what is the mood? Because sometimes even more than announcements, you just get a sense of things out there.
I think the one, and we'll hear from Scott Mullen Regina today, so I haven't been able to see him yet, but I've been watching all the announcements. And what stands out to me from that, just watching them, is it's Scott Mullen in front of a Sask Party backdrop, and Scott Mullen only. And Scott Moe's answering all the questions. Scott Moe is running the gamut on topics. And he's making the announcements on what the party is promising and what they're going to re-up with some of these programs they've announced this week. Conversely, Carla Beck stood in front when she made her first announcement. She stood in front, and behind her were supporters and her candidates. And the NDP's putting up almost every day another candidate or two across the province in different places to try and just kind of make the media pick, get the attention in different areas. So Vicky Mota is outside of RUH yesterday. The media covers that. Carla Beck is at the Sun rally speaking. Of course, the media is going to be there. Today, we're expecting the NDP to release their costed platform, and that'll be something that the Sask Party would keenly aware of and want to hear, because Scott Moe's number one criticism so far when asked about the NDP and what they're promising with taxes and other things, education, healthcare spending, is how are they going to pay for it? And Carla Beck has said, well, these guys haven't done a very good job of spending our money either. And her thing is, she said this a few times now, we don't have a revenue problem, we have a mismanagement problem. Moe's most recent thing to talk about mood is, he's talking about crime yesterday in Prince Albert, and he says, oh, they want doorbell cameras in the NDP. They're going to give you a doorbell camera. They don't want cops. They're going to get rid of the marshal service. And right away, the NDP gets on social media and says, actually, we are going to hire more police, and we're going to do these other things. So we're starting to see that back and forth now, where they're having to react to one another in real time. And I think with the NDP just flooding us with announcements or availabilities, and the Sask Party having to come up with something new every day and making a new promise, that's made it more interesting than even the pre-campaign, I'll say.
Tell me more about Sask United Party and its policies.
Well, it's interesting because, as I say, I honestly think it's the platform that a lot of Sask Party backbenchers, and by the way, there's a few of them now running for the Sask United Party, at least former Sask Party backbenchers, would have wanted. And it's heavy on the social policy agenda. They're talking about things like opting in for programs like sex education, as opposed to just opting out. And they made that clear distinction. The leader, Mr. Hamrick, basically made his pitch in a more concise and clear way than I've seen in the past. A lot of people won't agree with it, and a lot of people will find it hugely problematic. And there is huge problems. The Sask Party could be making hay of the fact that he's basically cutting the PST in half, eliminating the gas tax, $2 billion plus hit each year, not really explaining how he's going to make up for the revenues other than, oh, well, we're going to charge the potash companies more in both taxes and royalties, which never goes so big with potash companies from my limited history of the last 40 years. They can't, and farther back than that. So I don't know. It's a bit naive and a bit silly to think that there's these magical solutions that haven't been tried that they now think can work. Nevertheless, those are the solutions that the right, particularly the rural right, say, why aren't we doing that? Why are we still getting out of coal altogether when there's still plenty of coal and natural gas to burn to create electricity? And they're talking about scrapping net zero in terms of the Sask United Party. They're talking about a lot of programs about bringing back historical rights in education, although they say that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't be teaching the treaties anymore and everything else. They're talking about tearing or putting back up the statues that were torn down. And there's an audience for that in this province. And the problem for Scott Moe is the problem that we saw at the end of the last election, when a mere 17 Sask Party or Buffalo Party candidates scared the Sask Party, and he addressed them immediately on election night, as you'll well remember. Now we're starting out with the Sask United Party having 23 candidates, not enough to form government, but certainly enough to put the fear of God in them. And as Adam said, he's got those attacks coming from the right. They're somewhat, in some ways, similar to the attacks coming from the NDP and the left, because a lot of it's about competency in government, running big debt, not managing the affairs of the province properly, which was the Sask United Party overall message this week, which is kind of similar to what you're hearing from the attack. So it's a little bit different that way. As I said earlier, if Scott Moe was hoping for a short, quiet campaign, which is to his advantage, he might not be able to get what he wants. It's just going to be interesting to see whether that translates much further than the cities, the Regina, Moose Jaw, PA, Saskatoon corridor, the double lanes of which they're traveling up and down with occasional pit stops in the city, because that's where the fights are. My interest is whether all this produces either the NDP or the SAS party going out in the country and basically thinking, okay, we got to go there now because there's actually going to be fights in those rural ridings that for the last 25 years, all parties have written off because they're automatically going to the SAS party. So that's the next thing to watch for in terms of developments. And the Sask United Party, once again, plays a major role in that because I think that's where their most successful candidates will be.
Thanks very much, you guys.
You're very welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.